Welcome back. You're with the Grumpy Gays here on Joy 94.9. Now, small town boy, Bronski Beat.
Indeed.
Doug, that was your epiphany.
Oh, look, what an incredible song. And, you know, with such extraordinary vocals from Jimmy Somerville. I mean, that's a gay anthem for, I'd say, so many of our contemporaries back from 1984. And look, you know, it reached number 3 in the band's native UK and was top 10 here in Australia. And the video, oh, look, there was actual gay people on screen. And for my teenage eyes at the time, searching for any kind of identification and validation, it was really, really exciting. And even though they did actually highlight within that the potential for violence and family rejection, in amongst all that, there was such a powerful message there for the importance of finding your tribe and community. So look, Bronski Beat, Small Town Boy, that is just such an amazing song that I think so many young gay people of that time, obviously, would have seen that and felt real identification with. On a very serious note,
It's a very worthy inclusion. Look, I remember, it's kind of like the first band that everybody openly knew was gay. Like, they were the first band to have the balls to come out and say, yes, we are. And I remember all the kids kind of like sniggering about it because that's what it was like back then. But yeah, I mean, and as a result, what an absolute classic. I got to say, though, I went to a fancy dress party at one point and I got a very late invitation. I had absolutely no notice, you know, before this party. And it was a fancy dress party. It was an 80s theme. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a costume. I just turned up. Everybody else was dressed up. And I came out of the toilet at one point and there was this girl dressed as Madonna, an early Madonna. And she looked at me and she went, oh, you've come as Jimmy Somerville.
Oh my goodness.
And I looked in the mirror and I thought, yep, fair enough.
Well, as you know, as much as I do love Bronski Beat and Jimmy Somerville, at one point there in the UK, he was referred to in the press, rather unkindly, as the singing baked bean.
What are you saying, Doug?
Well, there you go. We were talking about flatulence and everything, Matt. So there you go. Beans. Anyway, moving right on.
I'm finding it easy to keep things controlled. They're either too young or too
old. We love this segment. It's called Back in My Day. And of course, given this is the aging edition of Grumpy Gays, our Back in My Day this week is the 1970s.
Yay! Woo-hoo.
And look, you know, it's very topical, I suppose, for us because, you know what, this segment is going to be a little bit esoteric. A bit of a caveat, a bit of a warning here. It's going to be a little bit esoteric for anybody that was kind of born after 1979. But we don't care. We're forging on anyway. And for those of you who will remember this, it is very nostalgic and you'll love it. So that little music snippet, just as a fun fact, very 70s, from Sesame Street, obviously. Okay. Now, I didn't know this, but that's actually the Pointer Sisters.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
And, you know, very topical because they're in the news recently because the eldest member of the Pointer Sisters passed away last week.
Yes, we heard that.
And so we will be doing a tribute to the Pointer Sisters next week as our music theme. So stick around for that. But I did want to start with my nostalgia for this decade because I constantly have Doug turning up on my doorstep with some form of 1970s cuisine, obviously. And you, Helen.
Ingrate.
I wasn't saying anything bad about it. I just mentioned that you turned up with some 70s cuisine.
You mocked my tuna mornay.
And your lobster bisque and your bomb Alaska.
I loved your bomb Alaska. I love your bomb Alaska, Doug.
You'll be getting a prawn cocktail next time and I won't have kept it in the fridge, Helen.
So I just wanted to sort of talk about some of the things from the decade that we remember quite fondly. Or not fondly, as the case may be. I do remember distinctly that there was a sort of, it was a very free and easy era. Or were we just kids and therefore we felt that it was a free and easy life?
We were just kids.
I think unfortunately, and this is very much to do with the edition of Grumpy Gays we're doing this this evening, is that we have finally reached that point in our lives where we have become those people that say, well, it never happened to us when we were growing up because...
Oh, young people of today.
And you're absolutely right. You know, we lived in an era where, you know, for us it was about playing on the street outside. I remember my sister and I would play tennis on our street every afternoon when we got home from school. And when a car came along, you'd go, "Car!" and you'd run off onto the footpath. And the
walking to school.
Well,
no one does that now.
No one
walks to school now. Everyone gets dropped off, chauffeur driven.
Well, I guess this is kind of where I'm going with this, is that we're living in an age now where an old man can't fart in Vienna without being charged for it, right?
Absolutely.
So when you think of the lack of sort of restriction back then, I want to say the lack of HSE. And what I mean by that is health, safety and environment, right? It's just kind of gone to a level these days where we're so mollycoddled. I think back in those days as a kid, you do things like, you'd have a billy cart, if you remember those, right? With nails sticking through the wood and plastic wheels hanging on by a thread, and you'd be careening down a 45 degree slope. Usually on asphalt, because it would be out the front of your house on the street. We had a massive hill outside our street that was just death-defying, right? You had no idea whether there was a car about to come around the corner. No helmet. No skin protection. I mean, let's face it, no doubt you were wearing a skin-tight t-shirt with some weird cartoon character transfer on it. And a pair of Balua shorts.
Yes, yes.
No, yes?
Yes.
Just me? No, good.
No, just everything you just said.
Yes, my mother delighted in dressing me like Elton John, like everybody else's mother.
She knew. She knew.
She can't say she didn't know. But having said that, my sister and I are 4 years apart. My sister's 4 years older than I am. And my mother still had, given the 70s, of course, this propensity to buy exactly the same outfit, just in different colours. So we had matching velour shorts and singlet ensembles.
Mine was blue. With a zip. Sorry.
Yes, mine was blue. Bronwyn's was green.
Oh. So, and it used to go bald in patches. Like, you know, your velour would have alopecia.
In the crutch. Always in the crutch.
And
or was that just because my legs were rubbing together because I was a bit of a podgy child?
But we also had a very large hill out that came down our street. This was in Brisbane, obviously. And I remember, I don't know about you two, when you got your bike and you sat at the top of the hill and you took off, and for whatever lack of mental prowess, you thought coming down a 45-degree hill, it was the perfect time to let go of your handlebars to show what an amazing cyclist you were.
Oh, and take your legs off the pedals as well, like a starfish.
Yes.
And you ended up, you know, face first in the asphalt, having chipped off half your front teeth, yep, with your mother screaming at you.
Horrible.
And blood pouring out everywhere.
Horrible. Absolutely. And no doubt your handlebars are at least 1 metre above your head, right? Or you'd be dragged on roller skates behind someone's dragster bike at 100 kilometres an hour. Again, no protection.
And what was that bar thing called, Matt?
It was called a sissy bar.
I knew I was identifying with that bike, a sissy bar.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know,
a sissy on a sissy bar, that's what I was.
But, you know,
cruising down the street on a 45-degree angle.
But I guess my point is, look, we all survived, right?
We did.
Look at us.
Robust.
Picture
robust.
Of
robust.
Absolutely. So there's that. I kind of miss that free and easy. And talking about sort of going out and playing on the street, death-defyingly throwing yourself into things like Evel Knievel. The summers seemed long. And they seemed very hot. Now, I'm thinking now with this new age concern of global warming, I don't ever think of the summers now as being as hot as they were back there. Now, is that just selective memory?
Are you being a climate denier, Matt?
No, I'm just saying as my, you know, little velour-clad cartoon t-shirt.
Are you friends with a certain ex-Australian Prime Minister? Is that where you're going with this? or a current one, depending on your perspective.
I just remember baking days where you'd go out and there'd be like a footpath full of white dog poo, and it would be just all of those things you just don't get anymore.
Oh, absolutely. And can I tell you...
White dog poo.
Yes, because it dries out in the
sun. It doesn't
sun,
now because everyone picks it up. So everyone picks it up now and puts it in a plastic bag.
And then it doesn't rot for years. Did your father curse when he rolled over it?
With the lawnmower. Yeah,
with the lawnmower, yeah. But you're absolutely right, Matt. You know, in Brisbane, where I grew up, it was summer was, particularly school days, is we had this thing in school in Brisbane that if it was raining for a certain portion of the day, you got to go home early. So instead of school finishing at 3 o'clock,
right.
School finished at, I think it was 2:15. But in Brisbane, what would happen in summer, and this is something I still remember vividly because it's a nice memory of something I shared with my mum, because what we'd do, it'd be so hot during the day. I'm talking, you know, 35 degrees and you'd been to school and you were sweaty and you'd come home and we'd sit on the back deck and watch the massive storm roll over that always hit at 4:30 every afternoon, and it cooled everything down.
Oh, you see, I just recall down here in Melbourne, it just used to be weeks and weeks and weeks of just baking heat. And you'd have that thing where you would literally scald the crap out of your legs on cracked vinyl bike or car seats.
Yes.
And I say serve yourself right for wearing two short shorts, because that was...
My thing about summers in Melbourne when I was a kid was that you would spend all day absolutely baking hot in school, and it would get to 4 o'clock and the bloody weather would change and it would be freezing and you couldn't go in your pool.
Oh, yeah. That's right,
that
yeah.
used to upset me.
I suppose some things have never changed, I suppose.
And nary an air conditioning unit in any school I went to.
And a portable.
Yeah, I know. But there were other things like the 70s as well, like cinema. Cinema was very weird in the 70s. Do you remember that? It was kind of the decade where experimental went mainstream. Well, the style of filming was usually jarring camera zooms that pretty much gave you whiplash watching it. And a lot of soft focus. I mean, you know, let's face it, neither of which are particularly comfortable on the eyes. And then they always had to have the obligatory sex scene that would often run for about 10 or 15 minutes to some sort of flute soundtrack. And it would always come on when you were stuck in the same room as your parents, so you didn't know where to look. Yeah, which you just don't get these days. You don't get that style in films these days.
Okay.
Don't you agree?
Which is a good thing or a bad thing, Matt?
No, I think it's a good thing, because actually a lot of the time 70s cinema never really had a proper ending. You get to the end of the film and the credits would start rolling. You'd be going, what the... You're scratching your head.
Did Herbie ever get to Monte Carlo? That's the question.
I don't know, but after that 10-15 minute sex scene with the Toyota Corona, you know, it was...
he mounted it on the freeway.
Absolutely. Like, honestly, it was almost mid-sentence, almost mid-dialogue. The credits would start rolling and you'd be like, I just don't understand this. But anyway, particularly sci-fi. Sci-fi always had to be super cerebral. There was a million different themes going on.
What about your Maya catalogues? That was a positive in the 70s, was it not?
Well, it was the only thing that approached good porn. And what I mean by that, it was just men in their undies, basically. So, you know, it was, you were easily pleased back in those days. Not that I was too young to be watching that sort of stuff anyway, but I have seen some kind of in retrospect at an older age, and bloody hell, it was awful.
What?
Porn? Yes.
In the 70s?
Yes.
It was a golden age. Fabulous. Golden age. Always a girl on a pair of roller skates. Fabulous.
Yes. Well, yeah, behind a dragster careening down a 45-degree slope.
Those moustaches are back.
Well, actually, funnily enough, speaking of like that suburban sort of sexuality, right? I always remember other people's parents. I always remember them just seeming to be a little bit naughty and adult. So there were two things that were real hallmarks of 70s suburbia back in the 1970s. One was swinging, obviously. It was the era of keys in the bowl kind of stuff. And the other one was progressive dinners. And I'm always surprised that there was never a mashup of the two, or maybe there was. Progressive orgies. You know, you start off at number 26 because they have a pool and a barbecue. You head on to number 32 where they have an ample rompus room. And you end up at number 38 where it's a free-for-all because they have a great Demis Roussos collection.
And a caftan.
Absolutely, you know. I can see the invite now. Ladies, bring a plate.
My enduring memory of the 1970s was not being taken to see ABBA at the My Music Bowl in 1977. However, my mother did actually redeem herself slightly by taking me to see them receive the keys to the city at the Melbourne Town Hall. Now, this led me to think that I've always wondered, have they ever been back and, you know, used those keys late at night to get into the botanical gardens and maybe secretly reform for a few numbers?
That is a bizarre fantasy. Yeah, that is funny, isn't it? This whole thing about keys to the city, I've never understood. What do you reckon they unlock?
Melbourne's chastity belt? I don't know.
Well, these days, that's actually quite appropriate. And where is this lock?
Indeed. You know, Where is this lock?
Is it the musical clock at Melbourne Central? You know, that giant, you know, that giant fob watch thing? The bottom slides down and there are ABBA reformed.
Well, to be fair, that would be better than what's there presently, to be honest, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes. It would be.
That ghastly panpipes rendition of Waltzing Matilda.
So, Helen, have you got any aching nostalgia?
I'm telling you, I'm definitely going back to the 70s when I retire. There's going to be the only thing in my wardrobe are going to be Demis Roussos caftans. That's the only thing I'm going to be wearing.
Made out of alopecia velour.
I'm just letting everything hang down to my knees.
Are you going back up to Queensland to do that?
I bloody may well.
Yeah. Look, you know, those were the days, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah.
Coming down, I feel a bit nervous.